Burton Radio.
I'm Ray Burton, and welcome to another Let's Talk Gardening podcast. Our mission is to provide listeners with interesting, informative topics and up-to-date information. My co-host is Faye Caro, an award-winning gardener, horticulturalist and media presenter. Faye's passion is educating people. Oh, and she loves bugs a lot too. My passion is simply beautiful, healthy gardens. And together, each week, we cover many great gardening subjects.
Saturday morning and here come the girls, Ray and Faye, with Let's Talk Gardening.
Hey gardening friends, how are you all? We are ready. Our number is 94841927. When you ring in, you'll be speaking to the lovely Bev Daring. Our researcher John Glidden is also standing by to assist us. And you can also contact us through email if that's a preference, gardening@curtainfm.com.au. Big cheers to Chris Bartlett. And Yvonne Hill, actually, for kicking off the weekend, as they do, in perfect form. And Chris is always such a gentleman. The courtesy with changeover of the studio is outstanding, Chris. We love you for that. Our cycling DJ, Jim Crinan, presented the cycling wrap-up just now, and Jim returns at 10 a.m. with the classic 70s for you. Faye Caro, nice to have you back.
Oh, it's lovely to be back, Ray. Good. I hope I can pull all my words together this morning.
Yeah, a little bit incomprehensible, or what's going on? A bit tired, a bit worn out. Well, you've had a nana week.
Yes, big nana week. Not so much sleep.
No.
Full on washing, getting the kids feeding out in the fresh air. Oh, feeding. Gosh. Constant feeding.
Yeah. That would be hard work. Four kids.
Yeah. I hungry, nana.
I hungry.
I tired.
Does Eddie get on the end of the queue? I hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a procession line.
Yeah.
It's been great, though. I've loved it. All their little personalities and... Yeah, no, yeah. They've been great kids. So there was four of them for 8 nights.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I guess you get to see them in a different way when you spend that, when you're that close with them all of the time. It's not just a visit or for a half a day or something.
And it's nice when the jobs are done and, you know, you can just sit and watch them play. There was a lot of time where I took them back to my house and
so
outside.
So you stayed at their house, did you?
Oh, during the school week. Because you've got that routine, there's their school uniforms, there's homework. Yes, it's...
Did they all go to school or only half of them?
Three out of four go to the school some portion of the week. So two are full-time school, one's 3 days a week.
Yeah. So that lightened up things a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, but then you get to school and... Where's your bag?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to go home and get the bag. Yeah. I don't want to go today. I don't have the right socks.
Yeah. Welcome to...
Yeah, it's like you are going to school. We will sit here for as long as we need to sit.
Yeah. And I like the story about one of them texturing a cat on her face. Yeah. How did you get that off?
Well, I just, you know, people know what kids are like. So anyone who saw her at school looking at like a Cheshire cat and... grinning in the same way. This our little cat. She did it this morning when I was doing something else.
Good Lord. Oh, well, it's over.
You have to laugh. I mean, you can do nothing else. They're little personalities and you want to send them off with all the confidence that you can. You can't be just hammering directions at them all the time. You got to let some things go.
Oh, well, I'm glad you survived it. Tell us about the show that we've got coming up this morning.
Well, this morning are the pretties. We're talking to Jen from Lucinda's Everlastings, and normally I would say it's time to plant, but we're still kind of waiting for those first rains. Mm. So it's certainly time to order, to prepare your spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got weeds coming up after the rain that we had a week ago.
Not everyone got
one. No, that's true. But those who did, guaranteed the weeds are popping up. So go through and sort them out. I love looking at new things germinating. Sometimes it'll be the flowers that I had from last year come back. So I sort of go through like I'm pulling out splinters and, you know, try and leave the seedlings of the plants I want and pulling out the weeds. And in my head, I try and identify the weeds and name who we've got, just so that, well, I like to know who they all are popping up in the garden.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just one of our guests today.
And that's at 20 past 8 and at 5 past 9, Jackie Mitchell.
Yes, and I met Jackie years ago. She was with Bailey's. Then she moved up to the Northern Territory and now she's over in Mildura and she's heading up Citrus Watch, which is something that I hadn't actually heard of. She's also partnering with Deep Herd. She was at the Melbourne Flower Show and they had a really great stall, which I had seemed to have missed. But they're also coming to Perth to the Garden Festival. Good. And it sounds like she's got something exciting, really up my alley, and for kids. So we're going to hear about her and the threat of other pests, dare I say, that are out there. And it's up to all you citizen scientists out there, gardeners, who will see things in your garden. You acknowledge the change, but you don't always know what you're seeing. And this is what's fabulous about our show, Ray. People can send in photos. It's like the early days of chili thrips. We didn't actually know there was a new pest on the scene. We were just seeing this deformed growth and saying, oh, the neighbours have sprayed something. And then later on we found out more about the chili thrips as time evolved. So all these reports are critical to building up a picture.
A picture, I agree. Yeah, okay.
So there's lots of information to be tapped into. We branch out into all different directions and this is a new one. This is, more pests that are potential risks to citrus. We already have the gall wasp. We have leaf miners. There's whiteflies. There's scale and aphids, you name it. And we have beneficial bugs that sort of come in and help them, but they don't always eradicate everything. And new bugs, it takes a while for the predators to get wind of what they are, to become used to them and see them as a potential food source or host.
Yeah, okay. So we'll learn more about that. And we need our gardening listeners to get involved if they can. Shirley from Belcato rang in. She said she loves the program, wishes all at Curtin FM a lovely day. How very nice of you, Shirley, take the time to ring in like that. Yes, thank you. And we do hope everyone at Curtin has a great day. I'm sure we will. Now, free lines, 94841927. Also, with our interview with Jennifer from Lucinda's Everlastings, we're giving away 5 50-gram bags of Everlasting seeds to our listeners. That's a lot of seed, and that's at a very expensive bag. If anyone has bought the seed, they know what I'm talking about. So we will give 5 bags away, and we're also giving away our regulars of a $75 gift voucher from Bigger Trees and also Green Life Soil Co. So that's all coming up throughout the show. Lots of information. And certainly we're looking forward to hearing your calls. There's a few open gardens pending as well, aren't there?
There's the bit on the radar and it's great gardening weather, Ray. I know we need the rain.
Yeah, I know.
But in the meantime, folks, get out there and enjoy it. The butterflies have started flying around. There's lots more to be seen out there. And what are you doing? Tell us, you know, what you're seeing in the garden centres, what your plans are, what are you doing to make your gardens pretty? And I know my thought patterns are changing a little bit. I'm becoming more aware all the time about what the future is, the risks. If we're planning on doing something, I don't just look at a tree and go, oh, I want that in the garden. I will then research.
Yeah,
or
you have
is it
to.
At risk of the polyphagous shot hole borer? What size will it grow to? Let's try and plan more for longevity and resilience in our gardens. A lot of damage is happening. I've heard the term ecosystem collapse, and that's where things die and don't come back.
Yeah,
because
of
the long hot summer,
I've seen a lot of
it. I know, but street trees as well.
Yeah, natives, everything. Yeah, just, that it normally would survive on their own. Not. And it's if you really look, it's actually quite devastating.
It is.
We tend to sometimes not stop.
I know that you can wander through the bush at this time of year and some shrubs appear to be dead.
Yeah.
I have one variety in particular.
That may revive.
It goes grey.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you look at it and consider it dead.
Yeah.
And then when the rains come, it all greens up. It's just phenomenal.
I'm hoping that with some in around the parks near where I am, I'm thinking, you know, they look very, very dead to me, but I do know that some can revive once we get a little bit of rain happening. So I'm hoping they're in that category, but don't know. They don't look very promising.
No, I know. But we also, we shouldn't be too quick to judge.
No.
I know, you know, I've talked before about what you want from a garden, your key words. And if you want something that's looking good all year round, you choose your plants wisely.
Yeah.
There are those plants, like I just said, that can turn grey and brown, but they come back. Now, it's an interesting cycle and it's interesting to have that in your garden, but it might not look fantastic. But as a gardener and as an explorer, I like wandering around and observing all those changes. It's like the European trees that the leaves change colour and fall. There's seasonal interest all the time. We can learn a lot about our native plants and how they respond to stresses.
Yeah, and I'll be very interested to see when we eventually get rain, exactly that. Yeah.
So I wonder if we did have an explosive flowering season, which then culminates in seed being dropped. So it's seed and food for the birds. They drop and then eventually the rains come and the cycle starts again.
Yeah. And I wonder about our wildflower season this year.
Oh, I do too. Being a wildflower guide is quite a challenge because the expectation of the tourists that come, they expect to see these magnificent photo-style brochure pictures.
And the conditions have to be spot on to achieve that.
We need the rains.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about taking wildflower tours in Western Australia is the distance that you have to travel. And not everyone's up for that.
No, they're not necessarily aware.
No.
No, it's particularly.
So giving them a Western Australian wildflower experience is like asking a child to be patient.
Yeah, I can imagine so too. Yes. All right, 94841927. Now, do we have any emails to cover off anything from last week? I know you weren't here.
I haven't caught up on last week, Ray. I tried to listen to the podcast, but...
Yeah, well, a big shout out to Linda and Paul Michener in the chair. They did a great job. They were really, really handy. And we ended up having a very good morning and a lot of questions. I think fruit trees seems to be... very popular. That's what most people seem to be ringing in about. That's a no-brainer.
And how to manage them, what to feed them, when to prune them. As a rule of thumb, of course, you do your pruning after fruiting and getting, the more you prune something, the more it will grow back.
Yeah.
Given that all those other conditions are in check. Ruth Bowles has sent us an email and she's received a test done on the bore water and would like suggestions on acceptable levels for watering the garden with reticulation sprinklers. Now, it looks a little complex and the print isn't very large. Ruth, this is something that I will look at through the week and do a bit of research on because there's a... In order to give a comprehensive answer, I need to do a bit of homework.
Yeah, of course.
And coupled with an email from a couple of weeks ago about salts in the water.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very good topic and I have a guest in mind to be able to talk about that. So I can probably wrap up both topics in one session.
I think that's a good idea. And we also have an email from Andrew Patrick now. Some time ago, he won a Bigger Trees voucher and he sent us pictures of what he did with that voucher. He bought citrus trees and they're all potted up and they're looking absolutely sensational. He's gone for semi-dwarf varieties, grapefruit, and what's the other one there? Sorry, my eyes are very, very bad. Trying to read it for you, Patrick. But he looks like he got himself a couple of trees for that. And I think he's on to winners. Good luck. And I hope they go really, really well for you. And also, Kathia Bullsbrook says, could we give her the recipe for chili thrip from a lady on our show the week before Easter? Oh, yeah, I know. When we had that call, lady come in.
Yeah. It involved... It was a bit more than a recipe. It was actually a method.
More a methodology.
Certainly the use of wetting agent.
Yeah.
Thoroughly preparing the area so that the soil was moist, so that when the chemicals were applied. Ray, do you remember that off the top of your head?
Application. I think she was doubling the application amount with Success Ultra. Yeah. And she was doing that once a week, applying to the affected roses. And really, you have to really apply it as it's like it needs to be dripping off the plant under and over the leaves and into every crevice once a week for 3 weeks. And she was saying then she was getting good results after that.
However, you must be mindful that chemicals like this should be alternated. They should not be used week after week, the same one.
Yeah.
You should be following the instructions on the bottle because that's what it's registered for.
Yep.
The risk of using the same thing means that the next generations are coming through and they're going to be resistant to the pesticide.
Yeah, so you recommend breaking it up with some eco neem oil in between?
Not eco neem oil. Neem is not something that I would use. If I was to use anything, I would use eco oil. The reason for that is it's organic. It's not likely to harm the good bugs. And in fact, it actually encourages the good bugs in.
So you'd alternate with eco oil.
As you know, Ray, I wouldn't use that. I wouldn't use it because from the stories that I've heard, those who have also tried it haven't always had long-term results. In the meantime, everything gets nuked. Now, we're going to talk more about this next week with Catherine Hubble. And she's got an alternative. She's been out there. She's seeing the damage. And what she said was people have tried this and it's actually not working. Now, you know, everyone's going to have different results. It's a big topic. It's a terrible thing. And I don't have a crystal ball about the future of chili thrips. But what I wouldn't like to see is all gardens being nuked and not being able to eradicate it, but in the meantime, knocking out all the predators.
And we've also got a compilation podcast on the website that you can access, Kathy. It's long, but there is information from previous shows on that. But we are in the throes of updating that as well. We will return in a moment. Curtain Radio. You're with Ray and Faye. This is Let's Talk Gardening, and it's 25 minutes past eight. We have Jennifer Egerton Warburton. That's quite a name online. Now, Jennifer is the founder of Lucinda's Everlastings, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Jennifer, how are you?
Good. How are you going?
Very good. Lovely to talk to you again on our annual basis. And
yes,
I guess you're gearing
so
up
for enjoyable last year. Yes.
You're gearing up for a busy, busy season as everyone gets ready.
Yes. Yes, I was gearing up for a busy, busy season. It turned out slightly different to normal. Because we really had quite a dry season last year as well, didn't we?
You did.
And I actually decided to go on holidays before I sowed my everlasting. So I actually didn't sow my crop until the 28th of July last year.
Yeah. Right.
And due to the fact it had two rains on it, we didn't get any rain past the 16th of September.
Oh.
And everlastings are a surprising plant, aren't they? Still
yes.
Produced beautiful seed suppliers, so I'm able to supply the gardeners again this year. Even though we had just unusual season, just no rain in October, we rely on that rain in October. Certainly we're farmers as well, so we really needed that rain for our wheat and barley and canola as well. So, but Everlasting seemed to turn out okay. They're water-wise plants. They don't need too much rain on them. You just need to get them established and off they go. They produce a flower. It's beautiful.
How do you get them established properly then, Jennifer?
Well, there's kind of two choices this year. This year, I'm not planning on planting any time in the next couple of months.
Right.
You can wait for rain, but, we're just going to wait for some rain. And the most important thing with our commercial business is not to supply weeds in your packets. Mm. So the important thing for us is to wait for the rains, get germinations happening, and then control the weeds, and then plant. But in a situation in Perth, you actually can plant now. If you've got access to a sprinkler or you would like to water, this time of year is great to plant. Mm. The rains will come soonish. And next week is a little bit cooler, I think.
It is. It's a little bit.
Yeah, so you can kind of sprinkle on the ground and just give a deep water, maybe even put some mulch on to reduce the evaporation of the water.
But not too heavy, obviously.
Not too heavy mulch.
No,
just put a thin layer of mulch. You can, and then sprinkle the seeds on top, and then water them in so you can get seed contact. Mm. Yeah, just make it ruffled up a little. It's just so it prevents the moisture from leaving the ground. You can actually, if you're really concerned about the heat of, you know, the sun, it's been really hot the last few days. I've been in Perth, and it's actually been really hot. Has it been over 30? Yeah. And, some people might be worried about the everlasting seed won't survive with that extreme heat on top of them with the sunlight. And just if you really want, you can put a very light layer of pea hay or something like that to reduce the direct heat onto the seed. Mm. It doesn't need it. You just really need to deep water, put a little slight layer of mulch on, put the seeds on top and water in. And the seeds will do well. They're desert plants. They can survive it. And this time of year is perfect for growing them. However, if you want to wait for the rain, which is also totally fine to sow a little bit later, just wait for the rain. When you do wait for the rain, you've got the chance to control weeds when they come up, and then because weed control is number one with Everlastings. Everlastings are kind of a spindly little plant that don't compete well with weeds, so especially capeweed. Capeweed sort of smothers it. You can do nothing about capeweed. So get control of the weeds after you wait for the rain, and then plant them after that. You just have to choose a sunny spot, a well-drained spot. It's not going to get waterlogged. And if you're finding you're planting onto soil that might be a little bit compacted, you might like to dig it up a little bit.
Fluff it up.
Or if you have access to a rotary hoe. Mm. I love my rotary hoe. It just makes so much difference too. The roots can get down quicker. Everything seems to happen quicker with rotary hoe, but not many people have access to rotary hoe. I just happened to buy it on Marketplace for really cheap. Someone was leaving Australia, and it's my best purchase ever.
Yeah.
But a rake and shovel is good too.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have to feed the seeds with anything, or do you just leave them be?
Well, in the packets that I sell, they're mixed with vermiculite. It makes it a little bit easier. If you have straight seed, the seed is white and fluffy, and they kind of have tendrils on them.
And they float away.
Yeah, well, not so much that. They're quite heavy enough to stay on the ground. Wow. If you water them in, the tendril-type things in a white fluffy seed, they're kind of attached to the soil, so they don't generally blow away unless you've got some really, really nasty winds. They don't generally blow away, especially if you water them in after you plant them. They always find a crack down the soil profile or whatever, and they don't generally blow away as such.
So do you mix them, did you say, with vermiculite?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, I mix them with vermiculite in the packet. Just makes them not stick together when you're planting them. And also, in a packet, because it's a sealed packet, there's moisture in any seed, even sitting in a packet that's foil or plastic. There's always moisture, so it kind of sucks away that moisture to make sure the seed's viable if you don't plant them for a while, because the seed lasts for like 10, 20 years. I wouldn't like them to be sitting in that packet and sealed without having some sort of absorbent of the moisture. Mm. So that's why I do that. So,
Do you feed your everlastings at all, or slow release fertilizer or liquids?
No, nothing. I just put them in the ground. If you want bigger, brighter flowers, I mean, they're beautiful just as they are, but if you've got a wedding coming up, or you want photography photos to be brighter, yeah, or whatever, you can actually put some just a good all-purpose fertilizer on them, and they will just grow a bit taller and be a bit bolder, but they're just fine as they are. But if you do want to, they, no dramas, if you want to feed them a little bit of fertilizer, they're happy with anything you do. So
that sounds fine. Easy.
It sounds easy.
Another thing to mention afterwards, after you've planted them and da-da-da, you probably got to just keep on watering until, or just making sure the rain's coming or whatever, just to get them established. After that point, you can forget about them because they're up and going. But just when they're any seed, planted some seed, just like to become established before you just let them go by themselves on their own way. So, and also one last thing to mention about the growth of them is snails. Snails seem to be a real problem. And yeah, if you think you don't have snails, and then you think, oh my gosh, these everlasting didn't even come up, it's half the reason, or probably 90% of the reason, is because the snails have just come in overnight and bang, they're gone. So,
have you got a solution for the snails?
No solution. There's so many different ways of controlling snails. There's organic ways, so you don't have to be concerned about your pets in the garden. We on our farm, being a broadacre farm, we actually applied snail pellets not to the everlasting, to our whole farm, because the snails are just getting on top of all our crops and canola, and the same thing as the everlastings coming up. But we don't do snail control on our everlastings on our farm, so it's kind of luck of the draw, and the soil types and the bring snails, or I don't kind of understand snails that much. I just know they're a real pain, and the best thing to do is speak to people like yourselves, or speak to your nursery, just to get the lowdown, because I would hate to say do this. I like the beer trap method.
I was just going to say, beer traps, and probably because they're everlastings, you could lay a log down and a few rocks, and that way you're creating a habitat for reptiles. So rocks that take in the sun in the daytime, and reptiles will climb across logs. You've got the little tiny skinks, and then you've got your bobtails. So somewhere for them to hide, somewhere for them to warm themselves.
That is great. That's going to be my new answer to that question. I love that idea. And it creates such a nice looking garden as well.
With
natural surrounds and whatever.
Now, so Jen, where can people get your seeds from?
Well, I've supplied all the nurseries. So in Perth, there's a number of retailers. Most garden centres like Xantharia and Waldex, and
so they're readily available.
Yeah, Garden Elegant. Yeah, they're readily available. Or you can go online. I don't charge postage. However, I'd rather you support the local nurseries. I'd rather that that I supply to the nurseries and people get the advice and. It's such a nice thing going to garden centres.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd rather that. But, yeah, they're readily available. I've stocked at the stores. I'm just waiting for the rain to have that flurry of people buying them and then restock. I haven't got to the point of restocking yet. I've just stocked the stores at
ready.
This point.
Yeah.
Well, be warned because there'll be people out there today getting prepared. Some of them might be waiting for the rains. They should be preparing their plot, know where they're going to put them, buying their seed and being ready. But I was just thinking Perth Garden Festival and Kalamunda Garden Festival, I guess there are sellers there that will have your seeds too?
Well, yeah, we've got Down to Earth. They go to a number of different shows. But I used to do the Garden Week, but I don't want to stand there for a week standing up. Sorry. It depends if the nurseries go. I like to sell to the nursery. We've got Native Garden Centre.
Australian Native Nurseries, Nancy.
They always sell them. Yes, Nancy from there is awesome. So she always stocks them. So she's supplying them. That's right. So, and if... There's Nancy from,
Jen, you've given us 5 50-gram bags to give away to lucky listeners this morning.
Absolutely fine. Great.
And what are they valued at so our listeners know what they're winning?
Well, $45.
Yeah, great.
So, very generous.
Very generous.
Yeah. And oh, no, I'm happy to.
Thank you.
Let's make it 10.
Oh, wow.
That's fine.
Really?
That's fine. I just want Everlastings to get out in the community. They're such beautiful, easy to grow flowers, aren't they? So,
Oh, my goodness.
So generous.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, the more can get out there in people's gardens.
We could have a competition.
Yeah.
The listener.
I'm very happy to give 10 packets. That's fine.
All right. You're a star.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know the listeners will absolutely relish that opportunity.
No worries.
And it's been lovely speaking to you. We appreciate your time and your generosity and your wisdom, obviously, and educating us about getting the most out of our seeds.
Well, I feel inspired.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Well, I don't feel inspired yet.
Bring on the rain. I know.
I've got to wait for the rain. I can't just put a hose out on my paddock.
No.
So,
no, exactly.
The rain.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I'm excited about the season ahead, though.
Yeah.
So,
Fingers crossed. All right. Great talking to you, Jen. Thank you very much for your generous offer.
No
10
worries.
50 gram
no worries.
Packs. Wow.
That's fine. No worries at all.
All right. Great. You have a great day.
Good from you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
What an amazing lady. Now, we have someone online, Sue. Thank you for waiting, Sue.
Oh, good morning, ladies. Can I have a bit of advice on two things, please? My husband has recently pulled out a big stump of a oleander, and it's a sunny side of the house, I suppose about 6 foot wide. It's got a new metal dark blue fence at the back that gets afternoon sun. Would you advise me, please? Dan wants to put in maybe 2 or 3 natives. Can you recommend? It's a hot plot and it's got a metal fence at the back of it. Mm. Could you recommend either bottle brushes or something like that for me, please?
Bottle brushes or grevilleas? Would be lovely.
Grevilleas, hang on, my sweet. Thank you. Grevilleas, yeah.
And there's also a plant called a snake vine, and it's a Hibbertia. It has a glossy green leaf with yellow flowers.
Yep.
It flowers a lot of the year.
I know that one, I think.
You could put a trellis up against the fence, and that would grow against the fence and screen the fence, and then you could plant the trees in front of it.
Oh, that sounds nice, yes.
And then ground covers, you could even throw in some Everlastings there, Sue, because 6 foot is a great space.
Couldn't I?
Yeah.
I could too. There we go.
And, but wait, there's more. Add a log for your lizards and reptiles. Add a bird bath.
Yep, got those. Yep.
And a saucer at ground level.
Yes.
A saucer of water and maybe put some rocks in it. There are a lot of butterflies around at the moment, and I know that Everlastings will also bring in butterflies and other good insects. So having different depths of bowls at different heights in the garden will bring in and provide habitat and a water source. But things like blue metal in a shallow bowl of water adds minerals, and butterflies particularly need minerals in their water, so that you'll often see them drinking from a muddy puddle.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons.
Oh, yes. We've got some native grasses out the back, and I noticed the little insect. Thank you for your advice. Now, could I just ask you one more thing? I hate to say it, the chili virus. I heard from my gardening club that the a couple of flowers are not having a flower show this year due to the thrip. I want to pull my roses out because they're nearly dead. I used the success, but it wasn't too good. Is it safe to plant new plants in that plot? Are there eggs and things still in the ground?
There are a lot of plants that could potentially be affected, but there are certainly a lot that aren't. And going with the theme of your native plants, you would be more than safe.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, Sue.
Good on you, Sue.
Thank you for a lovely show, and thank you for all your advice.
Thanks, Sue.
You take care. Thank you, Sue.
Bye.
Bye for now. Curtain Radio. And we are back. You're with Let's Talk Gardening. And we have a great interview coming up at 9:05. Don't miss that, with Jackie Mitchell, Urban Security, Biosecurity Coordinator. We're talking about the Citrus Watch program as well. We welcome your calls, 94841927. Now, our previous interview with Jennifer from Lucinda's Everlasting, she has kindly donated 10 bags of Everlasting seeds. So to be fair, what we thought we'd do is give 5 away this hour and 5 away the following hour. I'm going to make it open to everyone, reason being that we will pass the names to Jennifer, and she is actually going to mail them directly to you. So be patient. Poor old Bev is going to be run off her feet. If you'd like to win one of these 50 gram bags, that's a very decent size bag, let me tell you, valued at $45 per bag, and the postage is going to be included in that, give Bev a call now on 94841927, and you've got yourself a bag of Everlasting seeds. And let me tell you, 50 grams is a decent bag.
Well, I think 50 grams does 50 square metres.
Do a lot with that.
Probably do most verges.
So, yeah, good luck to everybody. And the lines are already going crazy. How's that? Poor Bev. But
she's going to earn her money's worth.
Wonderful prizes. That's $450 worth of prize, that alone. And we've got another $150 worth of prize to give away today as well. So that's not bad going on Let's Talk Gardening.
I know.
Yes.
We do our best, don't we, Ray?
We do.
And we have received an email from Pamela, and she said her neighbour did not get the memo. It's coupled with a photo of a chameleon rose, bare rose. There's no leaves, and it looks like it's gone to God, I'm sorry to say, Pamela.
Yeah.
She was away for some weeks, and when she got back, it wasn't looking good, so she's watered it and given it a light feed, and wonders, is it a waste of time? Well, I'd say so. And for anyone else out there listening, if you have a stressed plant, you don't feed it. It's like, I don't know what it's like, but if you try and feed and push growth or root growth onto a plant that is sick, you can actually push it over the edge.
Expedite its death.
What you really need to look at is the condition of the soil and the roots, potentially. You might give it a light cut back. You make sure that the soil is not waterlogged and is accepting water. So once again, your wetting agents and maybe a seaweed. That is the best you could do. Now, I don't know if this was in an exposed position, but it looks like it's in a black pot inside another pot. So the other thing is that it could have, if the bottom of the hole is blocked, then it could be sitting in water and that could be detrimental to it. And it's surrounded by paving and brick walls, so you've got the reflective heat as well. And we've had some really warm weather, even this week.
Oh, please 30s. Tell me about it.
So
very
it's,
warm out there.
You know, a couple of waterings a week may not have been enough for this plant.
Yeah.
If you're going away on holidays, putting pots out into the garden, like taking the black pot out of here, putting it out under a tree, perhaps where it gets reticulation
yep.
twice a week, would have maybe saved it. It would have got it through the critical time. Yep. It's really hard when we do have hot weather. You know, we often don't go outside in the heat of the day. We forget about our plants. We might sit in the air conditioning and you go out, lives get busy and you just miss
things happen.
The boat.
Mm. Yeah.
Resilience. I think we need to plan our gardens a bit better.
Going forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Will you make any changes or what will you do going forward, Ray? What will you do for adding colour to the garden? And because we love to play.
I love to play. And I think there's an element of experimentation in what I do and what works and doesn't work. Yeah. Going forward, there's this assumption that this is the new world and this weather. I mean, two summers ago or last summer before the one we've just been through was quite mild by comparison.
It was. Yeah, we breezed through.
Yeah, so I'm still a little bit wait and see.
Yeah.
But certainly I am very aware of looking for going forward because, you know, my garden's already planted. I had it done 3 years ago. Of any changes that I make will be hardier changes.
And I guess managing that, things get bigger. If you've got shrubs, you can just manage them into a certain size and shape.
Yeah.
And your canopy will continue to grow up.
I've got a lot more canopy than I did have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know with my garden, what has worked is working well and I will go with that. And I will maintain what I've got and I will just fill gaps with perhaps plants that offer something different to what I've got, add more variety. Where I've lost some, I will aim to plant with more resilient varieties and, different varieties so that we're covering a range of factors.
Possibilities.
They need to cope with frost. They need to cope with 45-plus heat, dryness. Yeah, the conditions that we're faced with.
All right, we'll return shortly.
Curtain Radio.
And you're with Ray and Faye having a great morning, and the phones have been going crazy for the Everlasting Seeds. I hope everyone gets a chance. Well, not everyone can, but, yeah.
Where are you going to put your everlastings, Ray?
Yeah, I like to do them in a bit of a pattern. We were just talking about off-air, Faye's thinking about putting some everlasting seeds in pots, and that is because you have this ongoing problem of rabbits. And
last year I planted them next to a new limestone pathway and the rabbits did come in and nibble them away.
Yeah.
So I used old hanging baskets upturned to protect them, and I did get a showing.
You did.
This year, I think where I used to have some limestone look pots, because I painted them, they're large pots and I sit big pots in them. And normally I do annual colour. So I've even got one pot that's still got a viola hanging on from 12 months ago. So I'll move those big pots to line the driveway. I'll put...
That'd be lovely, you know.
I'll put everlastings in the ground, but I'll also have them in these large pots, which are limestone look. And I've got probably, I think I'll have 5, 6 or 7. Usually an odd number is good. And that will give me two layers. It will also mean that the ones in the pots are raised up about 40 centimetres.
Yeah.
So less chance of the rabbits getting them. That will give me the show. It'll be seasonal. And then I'll probably put the bulbs in the ground somewhere and they'll come up every year. So my garden, it's big. It just has to get easier.
Mm.
You know, life gets busy. And I love the interest. So more bulbs in the ground come up by themselves, even if I do nothing.
Yeah.
And then I can add a bit of, can throw more seeds around and hope that they don't get eaten as well.
Yeah.
Oh, challenges.
Yeah, yeah. We all have our, I said before, we all have our cross to bear. All right, the seeds so far have all gone. The winners are Kobe from Shelley, Gail in Hammersley, Maria in Middle Swan, Terry from Port Kennedy, and Norm from Erskine. And Norm has informed us that washing powder sprinkled around is good for killing snails.
Ooh, okay. I guess it probably would be, but it might kill a lot of other things as well because it's a detergent. Yeah, depends what's in the washing powder, but that will wash into the ground and potentially harm microorganisms, which perhaps a lot of people don't normally think about because we don't see them, but there's a lot of life in the soil.
What about grey water then that's coming from your washing machine?
Yes, but when you do use grey water, you use particular washing powders.
All right, do you? I didn't know that. So you've got to use specific...
You don't got to, but the whole thing about grey water is that you're benefiting where the water's going. So you do become more aware of what's in your washing detergents.
Okay.
And there's a symbol on packs to say what is safe. Maybe John can, you know, do a bit of research on this. The idea is good, but I would research it to the next level because if you could get one that couples with grey water... You may be on a winner.
And I wonder about, I was having this chat with my other half yesterday, because we've had such a huge gap of no rain, when we do get that first rains, it tends to, there's a lot of toxicity on the top level of our soil. That's going to get down into our waterways. And I know last year in our first rains, where I live, there's a lot of lakes and things. Dead fish everywhere.
Oh.
And we've even, in some of the lakes near where I live, they say there's potentially botulism in the water. Ducks are dying.
Yes.
Got lots of problems going on at the moment. But I do really wonder what's going to happen when we get our first lot of rains and what that washes down into our water.
We can't escape, can we, Ray? No. Everything we do
has knock-on
an impact. So, you know... We can be throwing fertilizer at our garden, you know, all over the summer months, and we water it in and it gets how far? Mm. And then, like you say, the rains come and boom. Mm.
And last year when that happened, we had in our lakes where I am, we had big trouble, dead fish everywhere. It was just awful.
People surely look at that and go, what can I do different? You know, how did I contribute to that?
It's educating. It's educating.
You know, this is why I bang on about all the products being used on things to kill off an aphid, you know? You can stand there and hose it and most don't come back.
Yeah.
You have to
think.
Be aware of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think people are. They just have that, you know, a lot of people, because many people do. So let me rephrase that. But... a lot of people want that short-term response.
I'm scared. I'm doing my best to do what I can on our property with minimal just about everything, money, products, you name it. But I want to see the results, and the results are the birds that are coming in, the life that we're supporting. I know it's dwindling. I know what I've discovered in the last 20 years is not going to be all there in 20 years, but I want my grandkids to experience that, and I want everyone else's grandkids to also experience that. When we were kids, we had bush all around us. We climbed trees. We made cubbies.
Mm.
What's the future of the kids? They won't even know it. They've got devices.
I know.
We can all make a difference.
Mm. Mm. I agree with you.
Let's all make a difference.
All right. 9484 1927 is our number. Coming up at 9:05, we're chatting with Jackie Mitchell from Urban Biosecurity about the Citrus Watch program. It's 9:00. Sunny today with a maximum of 30. We're sitting at 22.4 degrees right now and the humidity is sitting at 32%. Overnight, the minimum will drop down to 15, which is still pretty warm. Sunny again tomorrow with a maximum of 30. Looking ahead to Monday, partly cloudy with a maximum of 24. We do have a few days early in the week. We're sitting in the 20s next week, which is much, much better for all of us. Let's hope things are starting to cool down and change. Because, you know, the autumn leaf drop, I'm not seeing the colour, but I'm seeing leaves drop and I'm thinking, is that autumn leaf drop or is it stress leaf drop?
In February, some of the leaves turned brown and dropped.
That's what I'm having.
That wasn't autumn.
Yeah. No, I agree. Now, Patrick, we're aware of your call, and in a moment we'll be speaking to Jackie Mitchell about the Citrus Watch program. What I'd like to do is give away a $75 gift voucher from Green Life Soil Co. Compliments of Linda and Paul Michener. You must be a Curtin FM member and not to have won a prize in the last 28 days. Here's John's tricky question for you. During the World War II, the British Ministry of Agriculture wanted people to grow their own food. Was the campaign called Dig for Britain, Dig for Victory, or Garden for Britain? I'll repeat the question. During World War II, the British Ministry of Agriculture wanted people to grow their own food. Was the campaign called Dig for Britain, Dig for Victory, or Garden for Britain? If you know the answer, give Bev a call now on 9484 1927, and that $75 gift voucher will find its way to you this week. All right. Having said that, let's cross to Jackie Mitchell. How are you, Jackie? You're with Ray and Faye.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. Lovely of you to join us today and tell us all about a program that you're involved with, Citrus Watch.
So Citrus Watch is a project that's been funded by the citrus industry through Hort Innovation and the federal government. So we are project partners with an organisation called Plant Health Australia, Citrus Australia, who I work for, and the NT government. So we run a program called Citrus Watch. It is primarily to monitor for biosecurity threats to the citrus industry. So that is a threat that we don't currently have in Australia. This is because the primary biosecurity industries are on the rise, and a lot of that comes down to people are travelling again. We've got more produce sort of moving around the world, and with that comes insects and diseases and other pathogens and things like that that make their way into our country.
Jackie, just wondering, are you aware of new threats that you're currently looking out for, that you're monitoring for?
Yes. So there's a few threats that are currently causing a lot of issues overseas. Two of those is the Asiatic citrus psyllid and Huanglongbing disease.
How do you say that again?
Huanglongbing. So we generally shorten it to HLB.
Uh-huh.
Makes it a bit easier to pronounce. But it's also commonly known as citrus greening disease. So the Asiatic citrus psyllid, it's a psyllid, which is a tiny, tiny insect. They like to suck sap. We have a lot of native psyllids in Australia, so people might be familiar with them already. Quite often you have them attacking your lily pillies, very, very known for that. But this particular psyllid targets citrus, and they can carry the pathogen for the Huanglongbing, which is a bacteria. And so when they go to feed on the citrus, they transfer that bacteria into the tree, attacks the root system, which then moves in and causes a lot of stresses, nutrient deficiencies, and generally affects the entire tree. So you've got a shorter lifespan, lower quality fruit, less fruit, and just generally an all-round not a happy situation for the tree, which then leads to an unhappy situation for our industry. So
Jackie, if these insects make their way to Australia, do you know how to control them? Is there control for them at this stage? Or
so at the moment, it is very, very difficult, which is why the best way to control it is to keep it out in the first place.
Yeah.
In the US, they had an incursion into Florida back in 2005. It was first detected. Now we're sort of about 15, 16 years on, and they have had a massive reduction in their productivity. So they've had to implement a lot of biosecurity measures. At this stage, all citrus are affected, and there are also a number of hosts, such as things like Moraya paniculata, which people may know better as orange jasmine.
One of my favourite.
Very popular. Mm. So doesn't affect the Moraya so much. They're not as sort of productive fruit bearing, but they are a vector, or a host, rather.
Yeah.
So you've undertaken a trapping program, and in front of me I have one of these kits, one of many that you've sent out. So tell us about that, and who can anyone get hold of these?
Yes. So as part of Citrus Watch, we run what we call the Early Detector Network, and it's part of our urban surveillance portion of our program. So what that is I send out these trapping kits, which has a sticky trap with a lure, which if you have a quick sniff, it smells very citrusy. And the panel is slightly different as well, compared to your bog standard yellow sticky traps that you see in your garden centres. So you might notice it's a slightly yellow green rather than that really strong yellow.
Bright yellow,
Yeah, and so we believe that this would be a bit more attractive to your Asiatic citrus psyllids, along with the lure. And so we get people to put these out in their citrus trees, or if they've got Morayas, put them on a Moraya. We put them out for 2 weeks, and then they get sent to an entomologist.
Okay.
So because this program runs Australia-wide, we have entomologists in each state, so that when you put it in the post, it's the shortest time to actually get to our experts, and that way you don't have as much time for the sample to degrade. They'll have a look through the sticky trap to see if there's any symptoms on there.
And so, Jackie, is this done in collaboration with DPIRD?
Yes. So any traps that we do in WA get sent to DPIRD. So they are the ones that will have a look at it.
Right.
We also use Pest Guide.
Yes,
the Pest Guide app.
For it.
Yeah.
My Pest Guide. So when you go to submit all your details for your trap, you'll go in there, and there'll be a barcode on the trap that you can scan in, so that we've got the code, and that all comes back. All that information comes back to me, and we put that into our database.
So for our listeners, if they want to participate, what's the best way of accessing one of these traps?
So the best way is to go to our website, which is citrusaustralia.com.au/citruswatch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you can go to that page,
put
all our information on there, and there is an opt-in form that you can click into and fill in your details, and that comes to me. And then when we go to do our next campaign, which is coming up in October, I will contact all our trappers, and I'll be sending out kits through the month of September, ready for October.
And I believe you're going to be at the Perth Garden Festival this year, Jackie?
I am. So I'll be working with DPIRD. They're having a fantastic sounding marquee called the Garden Guardians. There's going to be lots of activities there for the kids, but also for the adults as well. There's going to be lots of activities. There's going to be a bug scavenger hunt, a bit of a craft activity. Kids get to make a bug headbands.
Cool.
I'm hoping they let the adults have a go at that too. Part of the headbands.
Yeah. So no, and so people can come along and get more information. You'll be there.
Yeah. So there'll be lots of information about not just citrus diseases, but there will also be information about other biosecurity pests and diseases that will affect WA.
And can they access these traps at the festival?
No, so we won't. I won't be having the kits there, mainly because we are currently going through our autumn campaign right now, which is the trap that you've been sent, say.
Yes.
So that'll, by the time the festival rolls around, we'll actually be winding up that trapping campaign, and then we'll be moving on into the spring campaign. So people are very welcome to go to the website, or they can sign up at the Perth Garden Festival with me. I can walk them through the form.
Okay.
It'll just be a matter of scanning the QR code to go to the website and filling in details, and then I'll be in touch with everyone in September.
We just have no idea what goes on sometimes, do we? And knowing that these pests are in another a country and potentially coming here, I was reading about how our listeners can be part of the first signs of this pest. And I was saying to Ray that we get a lot of photos in when there's problems with leaves, or listeners are finding problems in their garden. So that early detection in the suburbs is critical to saving our citrus industry.
Absolutely. The reason why we want to have this early detection network in urban areas is that quite often things can hitchhike. So when we're travelling or just moving from suburb to suburb, so if we can detect them before they actually reach the orchards and our industry, then we can get on top of it before it becomes a problem. So that's why it's really important that we have extra eyes on the ball.
Yes, so as many people involved as possible.
Yeah, and if people see something that looks a little bit unusual, I always encourage them to submit a report to My Pest Guide.
Absolutely,
that's what it's there for. You never know, and you might find that it might be nothing, or you might find a really cool new insect that you didn't know you had. That might be completely benign, or it might be something that we didn't have before, and it's really important that we find out about it.
Well, great to hear, Jackie, and thanks for all the great work.
Mm.
We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks at the Perth Garden Festival.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
We will see you then. Thank you so much for the info to our listeners.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Jackie.
You
Bye.
Too.
Bye.
Okay, now we do have some very patient listeners online. And, yes, we do have a winner, Kathleen of Joondana, for the Green Life Soil Voucher. I will give you the answer to that in just a moment. Let's head to Applecross. Patrick, thank you for waiting.
Thank you for the show. Lovely show.
Like thank you.
And my problem, I got another problem. I got a desert rose, which has gone into seed. And I got lots and lots of seeds. And to plant them, can I plant them this time of year, or what type of soil mix would I need to?
Well, you could, if you've got lots of seed, you could try planting some now. The weather is certainly still warm. Keep them out of the cold, so keep them warm at night when the nights are cool.
Right.
Through winter, you might do better if they're on a heat bed or a heat mat, because they do like the warm weather. So you might get some germination now, and then you've just got to keep them alive through the winter months. Otherwise, start again as it's warming up. And a fine mix. Seeds don't actually need fertilizer in their germinating mix. They just need somewhere to anchor. And I think the seeds are very fine, so you just sprinkle them across the top and a very light dusting over the top, maybe even of compost, just to settle them and stop them blowing away.
That's right. They can blow away quite easily.
Mm. You could also put a cover over them, like a cloche, a framework. Depending on what container you've got them in, you could use drink bottles over the top or plastic over some wire, something that creates that humid and warm environment for them.
Okay. I mean, potting mix then, would I need a special mix or just an ordinary potting mix would do?
A seed raising mix would do it, Patrick.
You can get the seed. Okay, okay. And one other little thing. Repotting time. Can I repot them? I got the other adults that plants.
You
need to repot them in a larger pot.
I don't think I would do it now because we're getting some cooler nights and the days are going to get cooler. So I believe the best time to do it would be when it's warm because they're warm, loving plants.
Yes. And fertilizer, slow release, give them a little bit or not?
Well, they'd be slowing down now. You could perhaps do a half-strength liquid and then not worry too much about fertilizer until the warm weather comes around again.
Okay. Okay. Oh, sounds good. All right. Thanks very much. Anybody who needs seeds, I got about 50 seeds in that little pod that gave birth a couple of weeks ago, or last week. So I got lots of seeds, if anybody needs
them. Well, let me see. I'll put you back to Bev, and she can get your details. If any of the listeners are interested, they can give Bev a call, and we can connect you.
Lovely.
All right, so I'll put you back to Bev, Patrick. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay. Love the show.
Thank you. Bye for now.
All right, now we do have to have a break. Gordon, stay with us. We'll be chatting about your blueberry bush on the other side of this.
Curtain Radio in Perth.
23 minutes after 9, Jim Crinan will be joining you at 10 a.m. with the classic 70s. Right now we're in Baldivis saying hello to Gordon.
Hi, good morning, ladies. Great program.
Thank you, Gordon.
I've got a blueberry sunshine blue, which my grandson bought me for Christmas. I'm determined to keep it alive because I had one before he died. This one is under a patio at the moment. When I got the plant, it was beautiful. It was very healthy, and there's even a blueberry on it. Now, this, I'm looking at it now, and it's got, the leaves are turning brown on the edges. The new growth comes in, and it's healthy, but then after a while, it starts to brown on the ends.
Okay.
And the original plant is just about, well, it's just all brown and curled up.
Have you repotted it since you got it, Gordon?
Yes. It's in a plastic pot, and it's about the size I would put in because it was a small plant, you know, when I first got it.
Okay, so what potting mix did you use?
I used the azalea mix, which the lady recommended for this for an acidic type soil.
Okay.
When I planted it, I mixed the soil I added to it. I added some perlite, and I think I put some small amount of blood and bone in, and I've just been watering it. Regularly, I put my finger down into the soil, and if I feel it damp near the tip of my finger, I know it's got some moisture in there. So, and a couple of days later, I'll water it again. You know, so
okay.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I took a sample of it into Bunnings, and the lady said to me, "It looks like it's sunburned, but it's it's windburn, but it's under. That's why I put it under the patio now, and it gets no sun at all, and so I'm frightened in case it's going to die."
Okay. No, it does. They do need a good amount of light. I know it's tricky at the moment because we had 30 plus degrees the other day. It would probably do very well under the dappled light of another tree. Your potting mix sounds okay. The blood and bone, I don't know if that set it back a bit. Blood and bone can burn. You need to water the plant before you add blood and bone and then water again afterwards. So depending on how much or how you used it, that could be affecting the leaves. Now, but if that happened a while ago, don't worry too much now. What I want you to look at now is the growth and the new growth going forward, okay? We've had some really hot weather. It's had a change of pot. From now on, it should go forward, but you need to put it out so that it does get light. Do you have a tree with dappled light for it?
No, I have there's trees close by, but on my property.
Okay. Bright light, not full sun on a 30-plus degree day. if it's coming okay. straight out from a darker light position.
Okay, thank you.
You could, yeah. I expect it will start to put on some new growth. The weather's becoming more mild. You could add a seaweed solution to water and give it a water.
Okay.
And just don't do anything too much more to it now.
All right.
Just monitor.
Okay, thank you. Because even the new growth at the very end, the leaves just start to turn brown on the very end of the leaves.
It could be a number of issues, but it could be what you've done in the past. Okay, so go easy. Don't do anything else too much now. Contact us again when you get some more growth, and we'll look at the condition of that growth.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Gordon.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank
no
you.
No problem.
Cheers for that. And our winner of the Green Life Soil Co. voucher was Kathleen from Judanna. The question was, during World War II, the British Ministry of Agriculture, say that again, Ray, Agriculture, wanted people to grow their own food. Was the campaign called Dig for Britain, Dig for Victory, or Garden for Britain? The answer was Dig for Victory.
Yes.
Victory gardening. That's one Victory of your gardening. Old favourite phrases.
I think it's coming around again now,
you
Ray.
You love that era, don't you? I can tell.
Yeah, I do. I don't know. It sounds inspiring, like gardening for victory. Like I feel it in my body. I just feel that we all need to get back on that bandwagon. It started when COVID kicked in. People started veggie gardening again.
Yeah.
You look at what's happening in our ecosystems, in our bush, around the world, food shortages, floods, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We need to be able to do a little bit in our backyards.
We're now, certainly very reliant on eastern states for our food. Look what's happened recently.
But we can grow
supermarket shelves
a huge amount of stuff, starting in a wicking box. We talked about that at Easter. I'm now getting ready to do it all again, close to the back door, least amount of water, easy gardening, growing with the kids, etc. It's all coming together again. And I will be talking at the Garden Festival about water-saving ways to grow gardens. And I'm starting myself soon with a wicking bed, with a tower, and I'm going to see what I can grow and working with the kids. So it's got to be easy. It's got to be in a small space. We've got to be able to manage our threats, rats, rabbits, etc., and using minimal amount of water to grow more produce and getting that produce to the table, like keeping that loop small. And I know we can do it, and I know everyone can do it in a small way, starting with one thing.
Okay. Thank you. We're in Belmont. Greg, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Love your program.
Thanks, Greg.
I just want to know if you can tell me at what stage do I pick the seed pods from a moringa plant to be able to try and germinate the seeds. Last year I had them growing and they got to almost an inch in diameter and then probably 18 inches long, but the bloody rats started getting to them, so I had to pick them. But I've germinated them at different times, you know, waited months apart sort of thing, but I haven't had one germinate.
All right.
Do I have to leave them like a broad bean until they go really brown and hard,
I suspect you do. I haven't personally had experience myself with growing them, although I've had a tree pop up on the verge.
Yeah.
It's flowering, and hopefully I'll be able to monitor it. Now, you do need to protect from rats. And you do need to leave the pods until they're fully mature. So, yeah, typical rats get in and take them out before we do. So you need to create a physical barrier.
Okay, I'll buy some bird netting around the tree, I presume.
Well,
that may help.
Yep, and a wire, like wire, chicken wire, because they can eat through bird netting. But if I was you, I would do two things. I would put some bird netting over the whole tree and or chicken wire around the pods.
Yeah.
And I would think about how I'm going to eradicate the rats. That would be a side issue because we've got to get back to the source.
Yeah, I've been trying to eradicate the rats for over 2 years now. They're eating anything and everything, lemons, mandarins, bloody pumpkins, you name it.
Gosh.
Even the flowers in my garden. I've actually got to the stage where I put this up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
It's in a big pot. But what they do is they just climb up the grapevine and jump across.
Yep.
So I'm sort of fighting a bit of a losing battle at the moment. But
very innovative.
I will try that. But I had a feeling I may have planted them possibly when they weren't as mature as they should have been. But like I said, at stage, I had to do it because the rats would have just eaten them all.
Yep. And you know what? You're smarter than a rat. So I reckon something like an aviary.
That depends on who you talk to, of course.
But I think we need to know what our threats are, so whether they be rats or rabbits, and grow in an enclosure that they can't get into. But if they do get into it, maybe there's a bait or a trap there, so they only do it once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've probably got in around the whole house, within the ceilings and the sheds and gardens and so on and so on. Yeah. I would say there'd be 20 different types of baits out there, and they don't touch the damn thing.
Is that right?
I'm fighting a losing battle with that one. But
well, we all have to get better at this because they're just taking over, and we're losing hundreds of dollars worth.
I know. Yeah, it's certainly not cheap. But all right, I'll leave them for a lot longer and just try and protect them and just see how I go.
All right. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Greg. Good on you, Greg.
Okay. Cheers. Thank you, then. Problem.
Bye.
It's a massive problem, isn't it?
It really is, Ray. Mm. It's, you know, and we can't pretend that if we leave it alone, it's going to go away
because it's actually getting worse.
I think we all need to work together. I think perhaps councils need to do more. I know that they can supply baits, but they're not necessarily the safe ones that people should be using. So that needs to change. Mm. And the hardware stores that are selling baits that are harmful to our other wildlife, that shouldn't be on.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree.
We'll come back to that another time.
No, yeah, of course. All right. We're getting a few people ringing us at the moment about rats. I think what I'm going to do is give away the next batch of Everlasting seeds from Lucinda's Everlastings. We have 5 bags to give away. We're going to make it open to everyone. And they will be mailed to you. We're simply giving the details to Lucinda and she will mail your bag of Everlasting Seeds to you. It's a 50-gram bag. It's worth $45 and we've got 5 to give away. Make it open to everyone because this was given to us today, which was a very nice gesture. So Bev's getting ready and I think the lines are already happening. 94841927. Good luck. Maggie of Mandurah said she had a rat problem, so she put a light outside and turned it on each night. Never had another rat.
Mm.
They don't like the lights? Do you think that would...
Well, they're certainly very active. They're active at night, so a light might help.
A deterrent.
And certainly for Greg, he could put a light on where his tree is.
Yeah.
You know, that
one more thing.
Wouldn't
a couple of solar lights or something. One more thing.
A solar light or does it have to be a UV light? Does the light make a difference? Light does make a difference in many factors because you've got many different types of lights.
Mm.
Another subject.
Okay. Thank you, Faye. And do you know what I think? I think we'll have a little song.
Okay.
Before we go to our next break, and because while this competition is running, how does that sound?
Sounds like a good idea, right?
If I Only Had Time. That was by David Alexander. We hope you enjoyed that. The lines are still going crazy for the Everlasting Seeds. But we still, if you can, encourage your calls for the next 20 minutes of the show for gardening questions. Okay, we'll be back in a moment.
Curtain Radio.
This is Let's Talk Gardening. You are with Ray and Faye. Lines are still going. Crazy.
Poor Beth.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. All right, now I know we've got some emails to address.
Well, and John came in about the moringa seeds and said they can stay attached to the tree for a couple of months in their dry state. To replicate, place your seeds in a container of water and let them soak for 24 hours. Then plant your seeds in a pot or container to get them started. The soil you should plant into should be of a sandy nature, 50% river sand and 50% light friable potting mixture. So there you go. That may be of some help. And Ruth, who asked about her water quality results, has also sent us in an amazing photo of everlastings that she planted and grew between her and her neighbour's driveways on the verge. And what a show. Well, this is just a standout. And if you haven't considered planting everlastings,
this would convince you to.
This is your year.
Absolutely. It's stunning because it's in between the two driveways, isn't it? And it's just this magnificent bed of everlastings. It's absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking, and it's how it should be.
And anybody can do it. As Jen said, they're so easy. If you wait for the rains, you deal with the first lot of weeds that come up, you can plant then, and almost you don't have to water again because the rains will come and look after them.
Exactly. Now, the everlasting seeds are all gone. Rachel of Camillo, Julie in Bullsbrook, Judith of Naranda, Julie in Canning Vale, and Ray in Gosnells. Congratulations, guys, and we'll pass your details through to Lucinda, and those everlasting seeds will be mailed to you. Well done. We do have a call. Would you like me to go to that?
Yes, please.
All right, we're in Banksia Grove. Kim, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Kim.
I'm in the garden listening to you.
Oh, way good to go. Girl.
But listen, the harlequin bug, cotton harlequin bug, do you know much about that one?
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah, I've got them in my garden big time at the moment.
Oh, beautiful. They're so pretty, aren't they?
This is the nymph one, which is black with the red spots. But are they safe? I've had a come back from the pest.
My pest guide reporter, yes.
So if I've Googled a few different things, and in Asia they're considered a pest.
I don't think we get enough of them here to do damage to consider them a pest.
You think so?
What are they doing in your garden, Kim?
Chomping away at my chilies and basil and everything else.
Really?
Yeah. I'd never seen them before. I've been an avid gardener for years and I've never seen these before.
Can you send us a photo, please, just so that we're actually on the same page?
Yeah, it's right now.
If you can.
Yeah, I can forward what I've got, yeah.
Yep, that would be good because I've seen them. I've not been aware of them being a pest of edible plants. Doesn't mean they're not, but...
And in my research, just in Australia itself, they say that they nibble at the new growth, that they suck on the sucklings off the little new growth of things. They're on all my plants at the moment.
Wow, I wonder why. I wonder why they're sort of in such great numbers in your garden.
It's a new garden. I've only been... This is a new house, 12 months old.
Yeah.
Or just under. New garden. Quite a few pests in the garden, but it was bush before, but I went both to the bush. But at the same time, it's... like I said, these are my... I've just cut back the chilies and that because they're all chopped away at. I know the potato facilis thing business there, that's there, but these, they're hanging off the little growths, the little bits of the growth.
Okay.
They're not at the front yet, but they're at the back.
Now, do you have companion plants and flowers in amongst your vegetables?
Yep.
Okay, good. Send me a photo and I will do a bit more homework on this. Because it sounds interesting to me. I'm interested.
Yeah, I've got to come back from the My Pest Report Guide report, but I still, you know, when something errs on the side of caution, I think, you know, what was that? And I have seen you can get rid of it with milk or water mixture on Gardening Australia. I shouldn't say that, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine. The gardening program.
And what did the Mice Pest Guide Reporter app recommend?
Nothing. It just said it's just not about, it just said as per the conversation, hang on a sec,
look, I'll see what I can find for you, but I'd love to see a photo.
Okay, so can I ask on air your details?
What I'll do, Kim, is put you back to Bev and she can give you our email address.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Okay. We'll be in touch.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we're in South Perth talking about a rat problem. Ivan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. Well. Thanks, Ivan.
When's this Indian summer going to finish?
Exactly. Oh,
if I had my crystal ball handy, I could tell you.
Now, what I'm talking about is the rat problem. I love them. But the thing is, if you get what I use is the wooden spring trap.
Yes.
And on the bait board, what I use for bait is I get a bit of bacon rind. And I put it into a bit of gauze bandage and tie it up and then tie it to the plate. Well, I burn the bacon first with a cigarette lighter and then wrap it up into the gauze and tie it to the plate and then put a drop of aniseed oil on there and they can't resist it. They're like druggies.
Oh, dear. And do you wear gloves when you're doing that, Ivan?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Because apparently rats don't like the smell of humans, so they won't go to anything that's been touched. If you're putting out rat baits or anything.
You touch it, yeah, they know.
I just wear the cloth glove.
Yep. All right, and, well, that's something else for me to try.
That will work 100%.
Now, tell me, can you reuse those traps? Because another thing that I've heard is you won't catch another one in there because of the smell of a dead rat on it.
No, I've used them over and over again, actually.
Okay, all right. Well,
If they were worried about that, well, what you could do is just run them under hot water.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for that information, Ivan. I'll add that to my list of possible ways to deal with them.
Yeah, they can't resist it. They're like bloody druggies chewing up.
Thanks for your call, Ivan. Have a great weekend.
Cheers.
Yeah,
okay, now I'm going to give away a $75 gift voucher from Bigger Trees, compliments of Kerry. Thank you, Kerry, for our long-term support of Let's Talk Gardening. You must be a Curtin FM member and not to win a prize in the last 28 days. In the song, The Windmills of Your Mind, the world is compared to which fruit whirling endlessly in space? Now, this song, The Windmills of Your Mind, is the theme song to the 1969 version of the Thomas Crown Affair. In the song, The Windmills of Your Mind, the world is compared to which fruit whirling endlessly in space? Give Bev a call now on 94841927. Off you go. Good luck. Curtin Radio. And that prize competition is still running at the moment for the $75 gift voucher from Bigger Trees. So we'll have a winner for you shortly. Meanwhile, I know you've got a couple more emails.
And this one has come in from Kelly, Hannah, Judy and Ian, and they're looking for some sort of fence line / screening trees for a rural property in Herne Hill in the Swan Valley. Mm. Water is available. And we love listening to your show and thanks in anticipation. So we've done a little bit of a list here and see what you think about these. Grevillea oliveacea, great screening plant, will grow to 3 metres or so. Wonderful for the birds. It's a very dense shrub or small tree that flowers and is just really hardy. Mm. Raphiolepis is another one. Agonis, and there's quite a few varieties available. Lily pili, Australian native, can be susceptible to psyllids, but as a screening plant would work very well, and it will have fruit, and so birds will be attracted to it as well. And there's a range of different varieties of different heights, from very small hedging to very, very tall 4 metre trees. What I would consider, if this is lining a driveway, for example, things to consider would be fire. On a lot of properties where you've got a driveway lined with flammable trees, when one goes up, it can create a wick effect and head straight up.
The whole line.
Straight up to where the house is. So be mindful of that. Wind, if it is in an exposed environment, is wind going to be a problem? So it could also act as a windbreak. I'm not sure if it's lining a paddock or more garden and living areas. Mm. So that's to consider. Also, double check that the tree's not susceptible to fire and pests that are rampant at the moment. So I would check the list for Polyphagus shot hole borer. You don't want to be adding something that potentially, if it gets affected, your whole investment is gone.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we have Max on the phone. How are you, Max?
I'm very well, thank you. Reference to your rats, I've used a method. You get some cotton balls.
Yes.
And you soak them in tea tree oil.
Yes.
And just drop that around the house.
They don't like it. Yeah.
They don't like it one little bit. They'll just move out of house. They'll pack up and move out.
Oh, good.
I've tried it. It does work. It also works for mice. Once a month, just retreat your balls. Excuse the expression, but just cotton balls.
We've got
and, you. And just put it around again, and they will disappear.
Wow, I like that. And that could certainly be used around small vegetable gardens or trees.
Absolutely,
or plants.
Yeah. Yes.
I wonder.
You'd have to soak them more often if they're outside.
Okay.
They don't like it.
Hmm. Well, I like that, Max. That's good. It sounds easy to do and is not actually going to harm other wildlife, I wouldn't think.
That's right. And tea tree oil, a little bit hard to get hold of, but it's only a couple of dollars for a small bottle.
Yeah.
That would be available from health food shops or online, I suspect.
Even in a supermarket, I'm sure.
Yeah. We got it from the dollar shop, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
The dollar shop. And, certainly works.
Oh, good on you, Max. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, not a problem. Have a good weekend.
You too. Cheers. Okay, now we do have a winner for our $75 gift voucher, Anne Marie of Riverton. Hey, Anne, how are you? Now, the question was, in the song The Windmills of Your Mind, the world is compared to which fruit whirling endlessly in space? The answer is an apple.
Oh, easy peasy.
Yep. You're getting slack, John. Yep, getting too easy with your comps. No, don't say that to him. He'll go out on a mission next week. Make it very hard for our listeners. We don't want that. We want easy questions. We want everyone to have a chance at winning.
Another email, Ray. This has come in from Jenny and her sister Faye, who lives in Albany and is trying to find a variegated weeping peppermint tree. She's tried lots of nurseries but not had any luck. Mm. If any of our listeners know of any out there, please contact us.
Yeah.
But John has managed to track one down, a few of them, at Allenby Tree Farm in 35-litre containers.
Okay.
So they are available. You know, perhaps not all stocks are listed online. So if anybody does know about a weeping variegated peppermint tree, please let us know.
They are very pretty. I have seen them in people's gardens.
And variegated plants have just taken off. They're a fad.
They go through trends, don't they?
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what else do we need to wrap up, young lady?
Well, John's got me some information of the cotton harlequin bug. Oh, you know, any bugs in my garden are just treasured, and I'm going to find out more about it. He's bringing in more emails now, but we're certainly out of time. And, you know, with 1 minute to 10, next weekend, pretty sure I have lined up Catherine Hubble to join us in the studio, and she has a wealth of knowledge, very good ethos as far as looking after people's health and the environment. So I'm looking forward to speaking with her.
Okay. Now, one, we were talking off air about roses that a little bit less susceptible to thrips and black spot, and some information that I have is Iranian hybrid roses. Eye of the Tiger, Eyes for You and For Your Eyes Only. I think that's one you've got.
Yes. Yeah. And are you saying that's less susceptible?
Less susceptible. Yeah. And maybe a little less frustrating. So it's food for thought. We will leave you on that note. Thank you for your company this morning. Thanking Bev Dering and John Glidden. I know we've worked both of them very hard this morning, as we do. Wishing everyone a great weekend. My gardenism for the morning is the seeds of desire within your mind can only bloom if you water them with knowledge. Stay with us for Jim Crinan. Up next with the classic 70s, and we look forward to speaking to you again next Saturday. Happy gardening, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to another edition of Let's Talk Gardening on Curtin Radio. Happy gardening.